What's up? This is Movies On Up. Damn it, how do I always start that?
Discussion episode.
Oh, well, everyone's a discussion episode.
Yes. Though. Which is why I've tried to stop doing that.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. When these cops hit the streets, even the bad guys die laughing. I am Dave, joined by my partner in crime, Ryan, the Sarge to my captain.
Sure, yeah. I don't know which is better or worse. Oh, captain, my captain. It sounds like captain would be better than sergeant.
Yeah, but the Riggs to my Murtaugh.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We are Movies On Up, moviesonup.com, moviesonup at gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, at moviesonup on Twitter. The tagline this week: when these cops hit the streets, even the bad guys die laughing. If you know what movie that is from, hit us up at any of the aforementioned ways. If you are correct and we pick you, you are the winner of a glorious Movies On Up prize package. The first one of 2014 has been thought about and will be mailed out soon.
We're only like 3 months in. It's okay. Yeah.
But anyway, this episode's very, very special. Usually we tie them into an upcoming movie or something that released, and there's a way this can tie in, but I forget what it is. But basically, we were informed via a unnamed informant recently,
yeah,
that the brother of a Canfield police officer in Canfield, Ohio, has told us that Canfield police officer love Movies On Up. So we figured, we don't have any other ideas. Let's do our favorite police movies. So in honor of any police officers that like to listen to us blabber while they're hunting down bad guys,
Canfield or otherwise,
yeah, we're going to do favorite police movies. That is a broad, broad topic.
Yes.
So, Ryan, what stipulations did you have on your favorite police movie list?
None. It just had to involve police officers. The more I went into it, it is kind of like a broad jungle with all sorts of separate little areas we could have gone off to. You could do easily your top five buddy cop movies, but I don't have any buddy cop movies on here just because, well, why kill that?
I feel like we've done a buddy cop one.
I know we've done, we had When the Heat came out, and it was the female buddy cop thing. We did female buddy movies. I'm not sure if we've done buddy cop. If we have, great. If we haven't, we'll do it sometime after you forget about this episode, but not today. No buddy cop movies on my list.
See, because this one was very, very broad. I mean, it's hard to think of a movie that doesn't have police of some type in it, pretty much.
I mean, yeah, but it kind of had to be like...
Especially like detectives. So I basically went, I didn't want plainclothes detectives in my top five. So mine are uniformed police officers.
But what if the cop that listens is a plainclothes guy?
Then this is for the little guys.
Then you just
he
took a
started
swipe
here.
At him.
No, he started from the bottom. Now he's there. So maybe these will bring back memories to when he was a uniformed police officer.
He was a beat cop.
Yeah, but so all mine, my top five are all featuring cops that are still in uniform.
I don't have any uniformed police cops.
Well, then there's no crossover.
No, there isn't. So,
Ryan, I was going to say something witty, but I have no cop puns on me. So why don't you just uncuff your number five?
Okay.
It just came to me.
My number five, we are starting not with an American cop, but with an Asian cop. Inspector Tequila, played by Chow Yun-fat, starring opposite Tony Yung, who I think was an undercover cop as well, in John Woo's 1992 Hard Boiled. This is a great way, at least in my opinion, of starting off my list. It has by far the most action of any of the movies on my list. And just about any genre that you would do, if you're looking at action movies, you'd be hard-pressed to find four action movies that have more straight-up shoot-'em-up action than Hard Boiled. So many caps busted in this movie. What's it about? I don't know. It's about Chow Yun-fat shooting dudes. A lot of dudes. One of the things that it really stands out about this movie, for me at least, is before Neo needed lots of guns and slow motion bullet time, Inspector Tequila had both of those. This movie got John Woo the Broken Arrow, Face Off, Mission Impossible 2 gigs. None of those are nearly to the level of Hard Boiled. They actually made a sequel to this movie into a video game, because the movie is so much like a video game, and then they're spinning that video game off onto its own movie. Stranglehold, I believe. It's what the game was called. Maybe that's what the movie will be, too.
This movie is reminiscent of, because this was 92, right?
Yeah.
So you figure we're 22 years later. By the time this movie came out, you're 20 years later. When I think hard-boiled, I think it's very easy to make comparisons to The Raid: Redemption. You have a foreign action movie that just raises the level of action. I mean, it's no holds barred. It's just in your face. And as far as action goes, it's going to be hard to find a better action movie at the time, because I think that's what The Raid is one of the best action movies of the last.
I mean, I'd argue, put hard-boiled up against any action movie you want, and it still holds up.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it was a foreign one with a director that went on to do cool things.
Yeah.
The Raid is going to do the same thing. You got The Raid 2 coming out this year. My number 5, not as action-packed, and it doesn't necessarily star police officers, but there are police officers in it. They just happen to be the bad guys in this, and it focuses on state highway patrolmen. It is 2001 Super Troopers. It's hard to think of police of uniformed police movies and not think of this one, even though I realize the difference between highway patrol and police. But the police in there are uniformed, and she's the little blonde's adorable. But,
Ursula.
Yeah, but this movie, it's a classic. I mean, it's hard to say that word, but you can't find anybody that hasn't seen Super Troopers and that really doesn't like Super Troopers. It's the Broken Lizards guys. It's kind of what put them on the map. Definitely their best known movie, probably their most liked movie. I prefer Club Dread over this, but this, you can understand why they're still making movies 15 years later almost, because the potential that this showed, like, yeah, people are going to keep giving them chances just because it was so good, because it was funny, the dialogue was funny, and it was gag heavy. When you make a comedy like this, it's very hard. Like, a lot of comedies rely on either the great dialogue or gags. Like, especially if you look at the Police Academy, for example. Like, that's mostly a gag-heavy movie. This fit them both, and they made them, the gags weren't too distracting. Like, it still told a story and was actually, the story was enough to keep you entertaining. But the characters, I mean, Farva. Everybody knows Farva.
Yeah, nobody knows his real name, or nobody can pronounce the director's name, but everybody knows Ramathorn.
Who wants a mustache ride?
I honestly think you could probably carry on a conversation with another human being strictly in lines from
Leader
Super
Cola.
Troopers. Yeah, just get a large Farva. I don't want a large Farva. It's for a cop. Like, that whole restaurant scene is nuts. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a room and just said, it stinks like sex in here.
Shenanigans. If anybody says shenanigans one more time. It's one of those movies that it's hard not to think about and just laugh because it's funny. And it's one of those that anytime it's on, you can turn it on at any point and just laugh.
And 15 years later, the schnozberries still taste like schnozberries.
And the high guy at the party ended up marrying Christina Hendricks somehow. So that's something else that came from this movie.
Good for him. My number 4, not exactly a laugh riot, but also from 1992. Apparently a good year for cops, or maybe a bad year, depending on how you look at it. Bad Lieutenant, directed by Abel Ferreira, starring Harvey Keitel, Frankie Thorne. Inspector Tequila may not have been an ideal police. He wasn't always concerned with collateral damage, as you would expect a police officer might be concerned with, but he looks like the world's best cop when compared to Harvey Keitel. This dude seriously messed up. He was a degenerate gambler, a drug addict, a crooked cop, amongst many, many, many other things. Throughout the entirety of the movie, there's plenty of opportunities for the lieutenant to just make good. He spends, I don't want to say most of the movie, because he spends most of the movie just being a degenerate, but most of his working time on screen is spent trying to track down a couple of the guys that rape a nun. It seems like if he can just kind of find these guys and solve this case, then, you know, that might somehow redeem him, either, you know, redeem him to the viewer, or, you know, maybe help him feel a little bit better about himself. But he seems like, you know, for every advancement he may make in that case, then he's stealing drugs from the evidence locker, or he's placing bets against the Mets. He's a really deplorable dude that, for whatever reason, and maybe it's just, because generally speaking, we want to see people do good, or because I liked Harvey Keitel, but you just want to see him clean up his act. And somehow, the most amazing part of it is you want him to keep, to do a little bit better, but he just manages to keep getting worse. You think he's hit rock bottom, and then he's like, oh, no, it can get much worse from here. Which is astounding in and of itself. And it's a movie where you should hate this character from beginning to end. But for whatever reason, he's still interesting to watch. And it's a little bit like we talked about with Flight, with Denzel. A very flawed character. But when you have an actor that has charisma, they can make this character very likable. And I'm not going to say that the Lieutenant was likable, but you wanted him to be.
Yeah, and this is a good story. Like, Bad Lieutenant, it wasn't the first of its kind, but it kind of perfected the craft of your despicable anti-hero that you still kind of want to root for. Because the Werner Herzog, Nicolas Cage remake, sequel make,
reimagining, whatever, I think.
Yeah, the Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. I like that one a lot, too. But what I think is more reminiscent of Bad Lieutenant was my favorite movie of last year, is Filth, starring James McAvoy. Pretty much everything you said about Bad Lieutenant, about Harvey Keitel, McAvoy pulled off, where it's like he just keeps getting worse and worse, but you want him to get better, and there's just... So, I mean, it's a compelling story, and it's sad because it's a story that's been told so many times, so it's like, there is some truth out there somewhere. There are guys that are... These come from somewhere.
I'm sure it's probably an amalgamation of... This is an exaggeration of the worst possible story that you've ever heard about, somebody that was gambling. But Harvey Keitel, probably... You could have your own Harvey Keitel list of times he's played a cop, and they all would be really good movies. I only have one, and it was Bad Lieutenant.
My number...
Four.
Coming from a year after Ryan's first two, 1993. Future cops, they're still in uniform, though, so they still fit my criteria. It is Demolition Man, starring Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes. Sandy Bullock, Rob Schneider, Dennis Leary. they wake Stallone up and basically make him a uniformed police officer to hunt down Wesley Snipes, who has been awakened from the past. It's a dumb 90s action movie, but it's fun. It's like the epitome of what a good 90s action movie was, like this and Point Break, where they're silly, they're ridiculous in the plot alone, but yet the action's good enough, the story's enough to keep you into it, and there's just memories from it. The seashells, the Taco Bell, like...
The franchise war. That's the thing that stands out to me is like, oh, this is when Taco Bell, as a franchise, like, came back from the dead.
Yeah, so, like, I like this movie a lot. And I don't consider it a guilty pleasure because I legitimately love Demolition Man. I mean, it's just a fun cop movie. Yeah, there's not a lot of mystery to it. Yeah, they're not really... solving crimes, but it's just Sylvester Stallone kicking ass and Wesley Snipes, and one of my favorite Wesley Snipes performances. Like, I absolutely love him.
He was great in that completely psychopathic Simon Phoenix mass murderer role. He was, talk about Harvey Keitel being charismatic. I don't know that Stallone really has a lot of charisma, which is why I think you do need somebody like Wesley Snipes that is kind of not necessarily over the top, but does have the charisma to kind of carry that movie.
And that's a shame to see like how far Wesley Snipes has fallen, because he was really good. And if you look at Simon Phoenix, that's an over-the-top character, but he had it just grounded enough. He pulled off the over-the-topness, but still without being a caricature,
but
without
still
being a
cartoon.
Like,
oh, I could see this guy like actually being a murderer.
Yeah, so... very, very, very cool movie.
Stallone's another one that's got a couple cop roles. One of them maybe a little more, as over the top as this one was, like Judge Dredd, I guess, would be right up there for me. But I think I like this better, though.
When I think Stallone, like, other than Demolition Man, when I think a cop, I mean, one that almost made my list.
That's why I didn't want to say it.
It almost made it. It didn't, but kind of resurrected his career is Copland.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of cop movie, but he was uniformed in that. And like that one, very, very close to my list, but I went
list adjacent.
Yeah.
Perhaps even also ran.
Yeah.
Fair enough. My number three, Back to Asia for 2002's Infernal Affairs, directed by Andrew Lau and Alan Mock, starring Andy Lau, Tony Leung, and Anthony Wong, perhaps better known as the movie that Scorsese Americanized for The Departed. I really like both movies. I had seen The Departed first, and obviously the movies are very, very similar. I wanted to put this on there just because I feel like even if you have seen The Departed, check this out, because it's interesting to see how, you know, Americans and foreign directors have different perspectives on what's essentially the same story. The movies are, as much as they're the same, they're very different personality-wise. Maybe it's just because we're all much more familiar with the American actors, much more familiar with Jack and with Leo and Marky Mark, and not so much some of the Asian guys. And I guess I kind of felt like The Departed, maybe you get taken out a little bit of the movie because these are movie stars playing characters. You don't, at least I didn't get taken out of it in Infernal Affairs, and it really kind of allows you to zone in on the story. And there are a lot of moving parts in the story. That alone is enough to kind of keep you interested. I probably could have done, we talk about, you could have done a buddy cop. We could have done this, that. I mean, there are a lot of great, you mentioned The Raid. I mean, there's a lot of great law enforcement movies that have come out of Asia.
Yeah.
I picked a couple of just my absolute favorites off the top of my head, but you know, that's another that you could go down that road and get some really good movies.
Yeah, no, there are quite a few. Like, you got most of them. I know there are more that just are slipping my mind right
now. Yeah, Jackie Chan's got one.
Police Force, that one.
Yeah. That I don't have on just because I didn't want to go completely nuts with the Asian movies, but that movie is pretty good, too.
District B-13, that's French, but I want to reference that.
Which is not really in Asia,
no,
but foreign. I said that
yeah,
word.
Yeah, I like foreign. I like parkour, so... for my number three, we are heading to Miami in 2007 for Reno 911 Miami. I could see not liking this movie, but I don't personally see not liking this movie because I love the state. I love Thomas Lennon and Ben Grant. Everything they've done, they shaped my childhood as a young, or my sense of humor as a young boy with their show on MTV, and then they went on Viva Variety, helped a lot. And then to get Reno 911, fantastic TV show that TV shows rarely make it as a movie. This is one of the exceptions. And TV show adaptations as movies are, to make them work is one thing. To make them work with the same cast while that show is still on, a whole other animal. And this worked. It took everything you loved about the TV show and fit it into, you know, an hour and a half movie that was just hilarious. And then as, you know, as a big fan of the state, to see the state reunion throughout all the tattoo scenes was fantastic. And the cameos, Danny DeVito, Patton Oswalt,
Dwayne Johnson, one of the best cameos ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one I was leading up to, is The Rock is one of my favorite movie cameos ever. But it was so good because it took these characters that were so funny and let them shine on the big screen. Plus, you know, you had Terry show up. You brought in all your, a lot of the favorites from the TV show made their way there. And it was just a perfect adaptation of a TV show because it was everything you wanted about Reno 911, but just enough more to make it worth being a movie and not just 3 half-hour episodes. I absolutely love this movie.
It did seem like, at least with the South Park movie, that felt like a movie. Like, this was a movie. And maybe it was because they were allowed to swear.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, it did feel like a really long episode of Reno 911. And I was cool with that.
Yeah.
Because I did love that show. yeah, it didn't feel like three chopped up episodes, but it was absolutely everything that you love and expect from the show. And it didn't seem like they were trying to stretch it out. Nothing was forced. It was just like, oh, yeah, we can make you laugh for 22 minutes. We can definitely make you do it for 92. And they did. It was awesome. I wish they'd do another one.
I really wish they'd do another one.
Yeah. Not like those guys are doing anything else. TV shows, movies, whatever. Again, my number two, not exactly a laugh riot. It is a movie that Dave has never seen, from one of my favorite directors of all time, directed by Sidney Lumet from 1973, Serpico, starring Al Pacino, John Randolph. Lumet made some of my absolute favorite movies of all time, 12 Angry Men, Dog Day Afternoon, which I guess maybe you could have stretched onto this list, and Network, which, you know, I've waxed poetically about on several occasions. Serpico, obviously, I think deserves a place. Sometimes we try and outsmart the system and give you some movies that maybe you haven't seen or aren't as obvious. This one absolutely is obvious, but there's a reason. On the surface, Frank Serpico is essentially the only clean cop in New York fighting against police corruption almost single-handedly. And if that were all this movie was, it'd be kind of boring and perhaps even obnoxious. But things not quite so black and white. The crooked cops in the movie seem really, really likable. And they don't really have anything against Serpico other than, you know, he's not taking the bribes that they're taking, so they can't really trust him. You know, they want him to just get on the same page, and they are kind of like the cool kids in school that are doing bad things, and you know you shouldn't be hanging out with them, but they're pretty cool, and you want to anyway just because you want to fit in, but not so much with Serpico. At no point does Pacino ever come across like a dude who's up on his soapbox, which, again, could come across as obnoxious. But the morals that he's got and the sense of right and wrong, evident throughout the entire movie, and as strongly as, you know, you get a sense of Serpico's a good guy, you get that same with Harvey Keitel and Bad Lieutenant, that his character is just a bad dude. Opposite ends of the spectrum for both of those guys, but equally kind of self-destructive in their choices. Keitel, obviously, by doing a bunch of drugs and racking up a huge gambling debt, that's not exactly healthy behavior. And Serpico being so stuck in his, you know, this is the right way to do things, this is how I'm going to do things, you know, everything else be damned, he put himself and his family at great risk in a very, very good movie. Cool cop movie, Serpico.
My number two is also a classic, an all-time classic cop movie that when you think of cop movies, you may think of Serpico, you know, The Departed might come up, but maybe ahead of those or shortly behind is 1987's RoboCop. Alex Murphy is a uniformed cop at the beginning. Nancy Allen is a uniformed cop through the whole thing. So I put it on the list.
It's a cop.
It's a cop, but it meets my criteria also for this list.
It's a robot cop.
Robot cop. RoboCop. Fantastic movie. Like, even now to watch it, I realize the remake just came out, and I haven't seen it yet, although I'm interested in it. But it's so good to go back and watch now. And RoboCop 2, I think, is just as good because it elevates it just a little bit more. Like, there was an air of ridiculousness to RoboCop, but it wasn't as tongue-in-cheek. And then in RoboCop 2, you keep that same gritty edge and add that tongue-in-cheekness to it, so it just elevates it a little bit more. And I think they're two completely different movies, but just so good that it's got awesome deaths, the violence. Yeah, again, not much detective work. It's more just finding the bad guy.
Sure.
There's so many different types of cop movies. You have the, you know who the bad guy is, and it's a matter of finding them. And then you have the, we got to find out who the bad guy is.
And you have the robot cop movies.
Then you have the robot cop movies, which I think of all the robot cop movies, I would think RoboCop is probably one of the top two.
I would say it goes pretty high on the list of robot cops.
But so RoboCop is my number two because it's one of my favorite cop movies ever.
I liked it a lot. I love Verhoeven. I don't think at the time when I first saw RoboCop, that really, the director meant anything to me. But the more I kind of watched, like, Starship Troopers, I was like, oh, wait, this is that guy again. He's a maniac. And I love his movies. So it kind of like made me even think that much more of RoboCop. And the scene where he just shoots through the girl's dress to shoot the rapist in the dick is great. I love some dick trauma.
That's great. But the acid dude is far and away the highlight of that movie. That I saw RoboCop came out when I was 8 years old. My brother took me to see it at the movie theater, and I loved it. Like, acid dude was all I wanted to talk about. Me and my buddy Zane saw it when it was in theaters too, and we just would reenact the acid dude scene. We would just talk about it all the time, and we both loved RoboCop. And to this day, I still do.
But not enough to see the RoboCop remake yet.
I'll see it. I don't get
eventually,
the movies
sure.
much. If I don't, I found a way to finally get to the movies more often, but the caveat of that is that I take the girls with me.
The caveat to that is you have to lie to your family.
I take my 2 and my 4-year-old with me, so I didn't quite
so
feel
like.
So
how old were you when you saw RoboCop? You were 8?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to, together they're 6, so that's really, it's close.
Yeah.
Not that this movie is out in theaters now. It came out in 1995, but if they were to make a remake of it, I would not suggest taking your 4-year-old and your 2-year-old to see a remake of David Fincher's 7, starring Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better run than Fincher had from 95 to circa 99 with 7, The Game, and Fight Club. Aside from Alien 3 in there, which was his first, technically his feature debut, which he took his name off of, 7 is Fincher's first one that he left his name on. Starting from being a prolific music video director, perhaps that'd be another good list idea for the future. Guys that, or ladies, that were music video directors went on to be big-time movie directors. There's a couple I can think of off the top of my head, and Fincher would be right up there. It might be kind of bad to put this movie as high as it is on my list. The cops are good. Morgan Freeman's a good cop. So is Brad Pitt. But for me, the thing that sticks out about this movie is Kevin Spacey. So to have, like, the reason this is number one be because of the bad guy who's not a cop seems disingenuous. And good God, Spacey, such a creep. Such a creepy bad guy.
Spacey was so good in this movie. And this was good because you don't get this nowadays. Like, with the internet and everything, Spacey showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it almost came off like a cameo. But even now, cameos are spoiled. But, like, he's not in the opening credits. He's not in any promotional material. He just shows up, and he's the killer. And it's
spoiler alert.
Yes.
And it's well, I said he was the bad guy.
It's amazing. So, I miss that nowadays. Like, for somebody like Spacey's caliber to just randomly show up in a movie in this big of a role, be kind of rough. I mean, I can't think of any instances recently where where we've been surprised by a major role. But
and even if you could, maybe you wouldn't want to mention him anyway, because it was that effective. And the movie, it's so, you mentioned Spacey being creepy. The whole movie is really creepy as hell, very atmospheric, and the suspense that builds throughout the entirety of the movie, I think is really about as present as any of the actual characters on screen. And for me, obviously, I'm a big Hitchcock fan, but I think this is really about as close as we've come recently to a Hitchcock movie. Now, obviously, it's a lot more gory, but, you know, the suspense, trying to find the murderer, and even after you found him, like, that's not the end.
Like, I throw this term out sometimes. It's not a ton, but it's a perfect movie to me. I really think 7 is one of those that I wouldn't change a single thing about. I mean, the casting is perfect. The acting is perfect. Even Gwyneth Paltrow, who I'm not a fan of. It's just such a good movie. And you mentioned Fincher's hot streak at the time. Brad Pitt in that late 90s with, you know, I mean, 12 Monkeys, 7, and Fight Club are probably my 3 favorite Brad Pitt movies. And those were all right there in a handful of years. But, yeah, 7's so good. And 7 was one of the first ones that came to my mind. But I was trying to avoid detective movies. Like,
oh, I did not.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, that could be a whole other list is just detective movies. And I left off, like, undercover movies because 21 Jump Street instantly was penciled in as my number one favorite cop movie. They were uniformed in the beginning, but sure. I feel like I've mentioned that so many times. So
that's kind of why I left it off, because I figured there's a couple that we've mentioned a lot, and we'll get to them in the also-rans after we do your number one. But there's a lot of obvious ones, and I'm not saying that Seven and definitely Serpico aren't obvious, but I genuinely do love those movies, and Seven is damn near perfect. So you'd have to be some kind of maniac to not put that on your list of five best police movies, especially when I have four that are all involving detectives.
Yeah. So I, instead of putting 21 Jump Street, which I obviously love, I went with another movie that I obviously love and don't really need to mention, but it is Uniformed Police Officers. It is 2007's Hot Fuzz, starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, directed by Edgar Wright. I love anything they do. We talked about the ridiculousness of like early action, early 90s like cop movies, and the action and everything. And this was kind of a
takeoff of that.
A takeoff of it. I don't want to say farce or parody, because I feel like those have negative connotations, but
not if they're done correctly.
Yeah, exactly. And they're so rarely done correctly. That's why they do have a negative connotation. But they took all that and just everything from Nick Frost's character. Like, have you ever shot a gun in the air?
The Point Break references.
Yeah.
Like, that's perfect because we talked about the early 90s action, Point Break being a good example. It's referenced a lot in this movie.
And it covers, like, the basic police work. Like, when he first gets there, it's just like nothing happens in that town. And, oh, he obviously wants to look at these as murders. And everybody else is just like, it's accidents. And it's just such a good movie. Nicholas Angel is one of my favorite of the, I mean, Simon Pegg in every one of those movies, but Nicholas Angel and Sean are probably right there as my, I don't know, and Gary King. I mean, he's all three of his characters in these movies have been perfect, and Nicholas Angel to just be mentioned with Gary King and Sean from Shaun of the Dead, like, that's how good it is, and I love this movie, and I know you don't like it as much as I do.
No. I don't.
I absolutely love it, though. And you watch it now, and it's one of those, I didn't love it the first time I watched it because it wasn't Shaun of the Dead. I feel like Shaun of the Dead was more perfect, but this was a little bit more ambitious. They kind of stepped outside a little bit and tried to do a little bit more with it and pulled it off. And it's one of those that I'll watch anytime it's on, and I love it more and more every time. So my number one, Hot Fuzz. I absolutely love it.
Like Timothy Dalton.
Dalton was
pretty
good.
Rad.
Everybody was good in that movie. What kind of also-rans did you have?
A bunch. 21 Jump Street, obviously, was one that came to mind. Mentioned early 90s action movies. Bad Boys. I unapologetically love that movie.
I love the first one.
Yeah.
A lot. I actually do. And, I mean, Michael Bay gets some crap, but for what he did, like, in the 90s, he hadn't gotten in his way yet.
Sure.
I liked Bad Boys. Bad Boys 2 upped the ridiculous level.
Yeah, and I liked Bad Boys 2. It was enjoyable. But if I had to put one on, it would have been Bad Boys. I didn't have any Police Academy movies. And if I was going to do kind of a ha-ha funny police movie, Naked Gun would have been the one to go. Two really, really obvious ones that we've talked an awful lot about, which is why I left them off. Die Hard, Lethal Weapon. Those are both great. And then it kind of came down to either Seven or Silence of the Lambs, and I didn't want to have them both just because I really didn't want to belabor the point. But, yeah, obviously Silence of the Lambs is a pretty good movie too.
Yeah. My also-rans, sticking with the uniformed police officers, Fargo, I really like, and that's a lot of her being a police. Colors. From, I'm not looking the year right now, I believe it was 88, 89.
Yeah, I'm sure it was late 80s.
And then one that the only reason I left off was because I thought you would have it on Into Watch with Gyllenhaal and Payne.
No, you're burying the lead with Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick, yeah.
And some other guys.
Yeah, I left that off. I didn't like it as much as you did, but I still enjoyed it enough.
I liked it, just not as much as Hard Boiled.
Oh, that's what movie I was, that Sabotage comes out soon, and that's a cop movie.
Oh, yeah. I think they're DEA agents.
Yeah. Mariel Enos.
Yeah.
Sam Worthington.
Sure.
Schwarzenegger.
Arnold, again, you're bearing the lead. Schwarzenegger. Yeah. He's made a film or two. So that's it. Those are our five favorite cop movies, such as they are. Maybe we could have done
five favorite buddy cops, or just those are five cop movies.
Your
that we
list
really
makes
like.
Me want to do like five favorite detective movies because it make it more narrow. Because you kind of just did that.
I did it kind of by accident. Like that was not my intent when I started out. But a lot of times this happens to me. Like I will have two or three movies that I will have picked out, and Hard Boiled, Bad Lieutenant, I knew I wanted to have on there. By the time I got Infernal Affairs, I was like, well, okay, I've got.
And
these
you know
are
what?
All detectives,
like,
so let's just keep
all
it
these
going.
Cop movies we've mentioned, and like your detective ones, one we didn't even bring up that I've said before, it's a perfect movie is Heat.
Yeah,
which yeah, there's a lot more going on. It's focuses on multiple characters, but Pacino, that's one of my favorite movie policemen is Pacino in Heat.
There's a ton, and yeah. I mean we have
so we've missed a lot.
No Private Detectives. Yeah. I mean there's a couple of film noirs that really would have made my list. LA Confidential didn't make the list.
Yeah,
but we missed a bunch. So we'd love to.
We missed a bunch because it is so wide, and we didn't. Maybe it wasn't the best idea to just say, oh, best police movie. We should have narrowed it down a little bit.
But no, we're trying to make friends with the police.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you see us speeding, let us go. We're cool.
We're probably just speeding to record this podcast, yes. Which you like so much.
But yeah, if we missed any, which I know we did, they're, like we've said, we're aware that we've missed a ton. Let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, twitter@moviesonup. Check the show out on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio. You can find an RSS feed catcher and throw us on there. All that can be found at Movies on Up. Find more of me at Dave Bacella on Twitter. I have a couple things to plug. Another show that I've been doing for over 3.5 years now, Podcast Squared. We just put up the last episode this week. So if you want to hear me talk podcasts and talk about what we've done for the last 3.5 years before we call it quits, check out podcastsquared.com. Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave is my other main show that I focus on. We just put up our 2-year anniversary episode this week, so I actually prepared more for it than I think I've prepared for anything in my life. It's a clip show that covers the last 2 years of that podcast. So that means we're coming up on 2 years of this, too.
Yeah, and there's no way I'm putting together a clip show.
No.
I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, but... So
we're over halfway through the life cycle of this. If 3.5 years is about it, so you've got us for like another year and a half, folks. Enjoy.
No, we got to get through the sequels.
The sequels?
Episode 7 through 9.
Oh, the Star movies. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'll be around for those.
But we'll be back next week talking something to do with the Muppets. We don't know how to word it, but it'll be a Muppets kind of related episode. That's where we got the idea. So we'll do that next week. And until then,
keep it up.